Before we see the video this morning, you might want to find your sermon notes for today. You can follow along as we go, fill in the blanks if you like, and use this as part of your devotional life for the rest of the week. Just to recap, we have been introduced to the Donovan family, especially Frank, who is the father. In our first video, we got a glimpse of his heart, and we learned that God is not after our money, but rather it is our hearts that he desires. He already had his son Evan's heart. Evan quickly and easily gave his favorite toy. It was a vintage antique airplane, a little model that he gave to another little boy who didn't have any toys at all. In our second video, Frank was convicted. Even though he thought he was being generous, he was convicted by the judge of not being generous at all. Then last week, we learned what it means to serve others. It all begins with looking at people, no matter who they are or what their station or circumstance of life is. It begins with looking at all people as God's creation. Life is a matter of perspective, isn't it? Depends on where you sit or stand. Depends on where your view comes from. A lot of times when we hear the news on television or read about it in the paper, we have a different perspective, again, depending on from where we're looking. For example, a number of years ago, author Studs Terkel wrote about an experience. It happened to his wife, but he wrote about it, being the author. And though it was a number of years ago, as we read about places like Ferguson, Missouri, maybe our perspective needs to change as well. In his story, he tells about how his wife, who he said was a very enlightened person, she was driving and she was alone. It was in a predominantly black neighborhood, and she was driving along, and on a corner there was a whole crowd of people. And as she continued to drive, those people began to yell at her. In fact, they were screaming at her and they were gesturing toward her. And she felt very threatened. She felt really afraid for her life. And so, well, she put her foot down on the gas and she got out of there as quickly as she could. After she had calmed down, she noticed that there was a sign there along the side of the road. It was a one-way sign. She'd been going the wrong direction. And those people were not threatening her, but rather they were trying to help her. Life is a matter of perspective. If you look at your notes, sometimes we see only what we want to see. And we're blind to the greater truth. I want to give you a couple of examples from Scripture this morning, two in particular from the New Testament. The first is a very familiar story to us, when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now we know Lazarus. Mary and Martha are his sisters, friend of Jesus. We know that he was sick, and the sisters had sent word to Jesus, "Come, Lazarus is ill. If you were here, you could heal him." And of course, Jesus delays intentionally. And Lazarus dies. And then he goes and he raises him up. He heals him not from his physical sickness, but he actually heals his death. Now, of course, this is going to attract a crowd. It's one thing if you cure somebody of an illness. It's quite another if you raise them from the dead. People wanted to see new signs. They wanted to see new miracles. They followed him around wherever he went because they thought if Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, then he could overthrow the Roman government. They wanted a king who was going to kick out the Romans. That's what they thought his purpose was. That's what they wanted to see. And so they were blind to the greater truth. Jesus was a king whose purpose wasn't to overthrow the government, rather he was a king who had come to overthrow death itself, as well as its cohorts of sin and the devil. And so it was all the way to the cross when people misunderstood and had a different perspective until the Spirit came and told them the greater truth. And so when Jesus went to the cross, so many of the people thought, well, this is the end. It was great while it lasted. He was a wonderful prophet, teacher, healed so many people, but now it's all over. But the Spirit reminds us again that the cross was not the end, but it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a new life because Jesus went to the cross and died. He's given us the opportunity to live forever, to be with God in heaven, there in a perfect setting, as God had intended from the very beginning. So often in this world, we're like Frank in the video, where our trust and our peace and our security is in ourselves and what we have accumulated. We're like the guy in Proverbs here in your notes, the 11th verse, a rich man's wealth, that's his strong city. And like a high wall in his own imagination, we imagine that we can protect ourselves, that we're invulnerable, we're impenetrable, and we can hold out all the cares and the difficulties and the troubles of life. But then tragedy strikes and our perspective changes. It's then when we need to run to the name of the Lord, that strong tower, that's the place where we will be safe. So this morning I want to help to change your perspective. If you turn over your notes, we begin with this. If you want to change your perspective, where would you go? How about up? It's a different perspective, isn't it? I remember when I was a kid growing up on the farm, and we had this huge oak tree near the barn. And my twin brother and I would often climb up to the top, much to the chagrin of my mother, who was always yelling, "Get down from there." But it was a great place to get a new perspective. Could see the entire farm from there, all the animals. You could even see the fish that were jumping in the pond. It's entirely different from up there. And so also in life, the view is different from the bottom. It's different from the bottom of a canyon than it is from the top of a mountain. And yet, so often it takes those cares and difficulties and troubles, even tragedy, to change our perspective. Life looks entirely different when you're laying flat on your back in a hospital bed, or when you hear the word cancer, when your wife is in an accident, or when you're looking down into the grave where your loved one is about to be buried. Those are the times when we need God's tower, a new perspective. And when we run to that tower, when we climb up, when we trust in the power of His name, it's then that we get a glimpse of His purpose. This life is not about what we can accumulate. This life is about the relationships that you have with one another. It's about loving our God with our entire being, our heart, our mind, even our soul. It's about loving our neighbor. It's about seeing their needs above our own. It's about getting out that ladle rather than the spoon to serve ourselves so that we can give generously to others. It's there at the top of the tower where we can see our true needs as well. Sure, we need all the things of this life, and God promises, even as Luther quotes it, He's going to give us all these needs of our body and life, meat and clothing and shoes and all the things that we need. But as we trust in Him, He gives us even the more important, the greater, the forgiveness of sins that we received again here this morning, strengthening in His supper just to travel the journey of life. And He gives us the opportunity to give God glory through serving one another. Another thing that we see as we climb to the top of the tower is you can see the entire horizon. And we can see that whatever crisis we are in, whatever our tragedy might be, is that it's not going to last forever. Remember Ray in the film. Though his wife was sick for 3 months, he said it was for a season. And even when death comes, it's not forever. It's just the beginning of a new and better life with our Lord in heaven. And so I hope that we can look at things in a new perspective. And when tragedy and crisis come, that we would run to the tower, run to the name of the Lord. It's there where we are going to find peace, and it's there that we're going to find security. As we close this morning, I want to throw out a name and see if anybody recognizes this. Have you ever heard the name Margaret Rose Powers? Margaret Rose Powers, anybody? Ring any bells? How about the poem Footprints? You ever heard of that? Well, the story behind it, and we know how the poem ends, and we know how it goes, but the backstory is the story of Margaret Rose Powers. She was 20 years old back in 1964. She was living on her family farm in Ontario, there with her parents and her brother. She had contracted meningitis, and meningitis is a disease that can be fatal, but if it's caught early, it can be cured. And in those days, one of the cures was simply bed rest. And so she spent all summer lying on her back. And she got depressed. She'd write it in her diary about what it was like. And one day she wrote that it was then that she was at her very lowest. And she wondered where God was. Well, there was an unusual turn of events that summer. One day her brother asked if it would make her feel better if he would take her out to dinner. And she agreed. And while they were walking along the beach there on Lake Erie, they ran into a friend of her brother. His name was Paul. And they invited him along. Well, pretty soon, Paul had invited Margaret on a date. And then it developed into a romance. And by the end of that autumn, he had asked her to marry him. And it was then they were on the beach once again. And they saw the footprints in the sand. And Paul looked back and he said, "You know, in just a little bit, our two footprints are going to be one when we're married." Well, that night as Margaret went to bed, she couldn't sleep with all the events that had occurred. And then finally, as sleep came to her eyes, she had a dream. And in that dream, it was a vision of her entire life. And she and the Lord were walking along the beach, two sets of footprints. But at the time when she needed him the most, during the time when she was sick and thinking that she might die, she cried out to the Lord and she said, "Now there's only one set of footprints. Where are you when I need you the most?" And then those words that we know so well, the reply of the Lord when he said, "My precious child, I love you and I will never leave you." When you saw only the one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Run to the strong tower of the Lord. When the cares and the difficulties and the troubles of this world come, run to the Lord for security. Run to the Lord for peace. And hear again these words of Jesus. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid."